Chapter 7. District 19 headquarters was an old-style building of the waterfall design. The pattern was overdone, the design renewing itself at frequent intervals. Stream after marble stream poured forth from hidden crevices and gradually merged one with another. It was not a big building, but it was big enough to give Cale pause. Its 15 stories and its general offices, filled with clucking file machines and clerks, were impressive. He hadn't pictured such a field of authority behind the drunken man on the plane. The building directory listed civil functions and military functions. Cale presumed that he would find Colonel Medlin somewhere behind the heading Staff Offices, Penthouse. A note in brackets under the listing said, "Secure pass to penthouse elevator at reception desk on 15th floor." The reception department took his name, but there was a subdued consultation before a man attached it to a relayer and submitted it for the examination of an inner office authority. A middle-aged man in captain's uniform emerged from a door. He scowled at Cale. "The colonel," he said, "doesn't like young men." He added impatiently, "Who are you?" It didn't sound promising, but Cale felt his own stubbornness thickening in his throat. His long experience at defying his father made it possible for him to say in a level voice, "I met Colonel Medlin on a plane to Imperial City yesterday, and he insisted I come to see him. If you will please inform him that I am here." The captain looked at him for a full half minute. Then, without a word, he went back into the inner sanctum. He emerged, shaking his head, but more friendly. "The colonel says that he does not remember you, but that he will give you a minute." He lowered his voice to a whisper. "Was he, under the influence?" Cale nodded. He did not trust himself to speak. The captain said in a low, urgent voice, "Go inside and push him for all he's worth. A very important personage has called him twice today, and he wasn't in. And now you've got him nervous. He's frightened of what he says when he's under. Doesn't dare touch a drop when he's in town, you know." Cale followed the backstabbing captain with one more picture of the Isher world taking form in his mind. Here was a junior officer who appeared to be maneuvering for his superior's job. He forgot that as he stepped out of the penthouse elevator. He wondered tensely if he were capable of handling this situation. The gloomy feeling came that he wasn't. He took one look at the man who sat behind a great desk in the corner of a large room, and the fear that he would be thrown bodily out of the 19th District headquarters evaporated. It was the same man as on the ship, but somehow shrunken. His face, which had seemed bloated when he was drunk, looked smaller. His eyes were thoughtful, and he drummed nervously on his desk. "You may leave us alone, Captain." His voice was quiet and authoritative. The captain departed with a set look on his face. Cale sat down. "I seem to recall your face now," said Medlin. "Sorry, I guess I had been drinking a little." He laughed hollowly. Cale was thinking that what the other had said about the Empress must be highly dangerous for a man of his position. Aloud, he said, "I did not receive the impression of anything unusual, sir." He hesitated. "Though when I think of it, you were perhaps too free with your confidences." Once more he paused. "I thought it was your position that made it possible for you to speak so strongly and so freely." There was silence. Cale had time for cautious self-congratulation, but he did not delude himself. This man had not risen to his present position by being afraid or simple-minded. Said Colonel Medlin finally, "what did we, agree on?"
"Among other things, sir," said Cale, "you told me that the government was in need of officers, and you offered me a commission."
"I do not," said Colonel Medlin, "recall the offer." He seemed to be bracing himself. "However, if I did so far forget myself as to make such an offer, I have very regretfully to inform you that I have no authority to make you an officer. There is a regular procedure with regard to commissions, completely out of my hands, and since the positions are held in great esteem, the government has long regarded them as a source of financial return. For instance, a lieutenancy would cost you 5,000 credits, even with my influence behind you. A captaincy would disturb you to the extent of 15,000 credits, which is quite a sum for a young fellow to raise, and..." Cale had been listening with a developing wryness. Looking back over his words, it seemed to him that he had done his best with the material.
He just wasn't in a position to make use of Medlin's indiscretions. He said with a twisted smile, "How much is a colonelcy?" The officer guffawed. "Young fella," he said jovially, "it is not paid for in money. The price comes out of your soul, one black spot at a time." He broke off earnestly. "Now look," he said, "I'm sorry if I was a little free with Her Majesty's commissions yesterday, but you understand how these things are. And just to show you I'm not a welsher, even when I'm not responsible, tell you what I'll do. You bring 5,000 credits here at your convenience in, say, well, 2 weeks, and I'll practically guarantee you a commission. How's that?" For a man who owned less than 40 credits, it was a fairly futile attempt at a solution. If the Empress had actually ordered that commissions not be sold in future, the command was being ignored by corrupt henchmen. She and her advisors were not all-powerful. He had always thought that only the weapon shops restrained her government. But the net she was caught in was more intangible than that. The vast mass of individuals who served her will had their own schemes, their own desires, which they pursued with more ardor than they served the woman to whom they had sworn allegiance. The colonel was rustling papers on his desk. The interview was over. Cale was about to say some final word when the telestat on the wall behind Medlin lighted up. The face of a young woman came onto the screen. "Colonel," she said curtly, "where the hell have you been?" The officer stiffened, then turned slowly. But Cale did not need the uneasy reaction of the other man to realize who the woman was. He was looking at the Empress of Isher.